Welcome back, everyone. It is
Race Week again, and you're listening to Racecast.
Wherever you are listening to us, please do give us a 5-star rating. It really does help us out massively. You can also follow us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Just search Racecast. You will find us. Do you know if our little like artwork is updated on
Apple?
That it wouldn't update on?
Let me have a look. I can confirm it has.
It has.
Racecast.
Holy
yeah.
Shit. And it was it updated on Spotify, hadn't it?
Oh, Spotify was literally like straight away, yeah.
Oh yeah, it only took a few months on Apple, so yep, if you are listening to us there, do give us 5 stars. Obviously, it is race week. There's been some big news. The actual biggest news, although probably a very badly kept secret, has been announced today. It's currently Tuesday. whether this episode goes out tonight or
Tuesday.
I thought it might have been Monday, but it's not. So we're going to dive into all things Baku. Obviously, that's where we are this weekend. We've actually got the 2021 race playing on the TV as we do this podcast.
And if you can guess who has just crashed, let us know. We'll give you 10 seconds. And it's a pretty obvious one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. If you didn't already guess, it was Lance Stroll. I don't know if you remember that. Oh, actually, did he not have a blowout similar to Max?
Yeah.
Because this is where, like, yeah, it was weird that we had two blowouts in the same race. I actually don't think we've had one since.
No, I think after that one, that's a race which they stopped, wasn't it? Because Red Bull said, you should really stop, put everyone on fresh tyres, start the race again, because everyone's at risk of a tyre blowout. And that's when Lewis decided to...
Hit the magic button or something. Yeah, Lance did just have a blowout.
Nasty crash.
But yeah, obviously we are off to Baku this weekend, so it is good to have Formula One back. Not really sure how I feel about this weekend, but we will dive into that. I think in the meantime, we should probably talk about the big news that has been announced today, which everyone kind of knew was coming. No one can really understand why it's happened, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Before we get onto that, we can either do this now or we can do this later on. I've actually got a couple of quick quizzes for you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did a bit of, you know, I thought it'd be quite interesting. I like to quiz you. You're pretty bad at this type of stuff. Do you want to do this now before we get onto the big news?
Okay, so obviously if you're listening, make sure you join in and you can score yourself. And if you beat me...
Not hard.
You don't win anything.
So it kind of links back to last week because obviously Kevin Magnussen, he's got a race ban. And I want to know who was the last driver to receive a race ban. And actually, if you can name the people who have had a race ban over the years, I'd be very impressed. But who was the last driver to receive a race ban? And what year?
The last driver to receive a race ban?
Yes.
Maldonado?
No. But I guarantee once I say it, you will go, okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Can you give me the year?
2012. So it's not bad. It's been, 12 years since we last had a race ban.
2012, Christ.
Yeah. I can tell you that was the year where Mercedes were still silver. It's not, but it's still, it was a good year because, you know, Mercedes were in a decent colour.
2012, that was when Alonso was going for the title in Ferrari.
Yes.
2012, that was a very good season.
Yeah.
There was quite a few individuals going for the title.
Yep.
Who got a race ban?
Yeah.
This is due to accumulating too many points on...
So this person was handed a one race ban and fined £50,000 for causing a crash at the start of the 2012 Belgium Grand Prix. So they were given a race ban for this crash.
Mark Webber.
No. Roman Grosjean.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it does make sense.
Do you remember it when he literally took out Lewis? because he literally just bulldozed through. Do you remember that?
No, but it does sound like something great.
It does. The next one was in 2002. This person, although technically not an official race ban, this person was forced to miss the 2002 United States Grand Prix due to technicalities in the grid place penalty regulations. Who was it?
2002. I was 6 years old.
Yep. What's your point?
And depending on how early this race was in the season, I might have even been five.
Yeah.
I'm Juan Pablo Montoya.
Felipe Massa.
Was it?
Yeah. Massa? Yeah. The one before that was in 1997. This person had qualified on pole for the 1997 Japanese Grand Prix, but ahead of the race, he was disqualified from participation by the stewards. He drove for Williams.
What, Damon Hill?
No.
The other one.
Jacques Villeneuve.
Do you know what? Jacques Villeneuve actually came to mind. Not because I thought it might be...
He came to yours.
No, he came to mind.
Oh, he just came to... He was sitting here one day.
Not based off of anything. It was only because I was thinking 97, he was a driver then.
Okay. Before that, 1994. There's only two more of these. This person was given a one-race ban, suspended for three races alongside Rubens Barrichello for a last-lap collision at the 1994 British Grand Prix. Any guesses? I told you the team. It was a McLaren.
Mika Hakkinen.
Yes. Well done. And then again, in the same season, this person was awarded a two-race ban in 1994, missing both the Italian and Portuguese Grand Prix. He received a penalty for overtaking Damon Hill on the formation lap of the British Grand Prix and then repeated that violation following an aborted start. Who was it? They were driving a Benetton.
Michael Schumacher?
Yes. And finally, actually, I did say two more. 1989. I was one. All right. This person was given a one-race ban after ignoring a black flag for reversing in the pit lane at the 1989 Portuguese Grand Prix. The British driver had locked up coming into the pit and chose to drive around his mechanics instead of driving through them. Do you know who it is? They were driving a Ferrari. I've kind of given you hints. British driver.
James
Hunt? No.
That's too late for him, isn't it?
Yeah. Tash. Like to Tash.
Nigel Mansell.
Yeah, Nigel Mansell. Enjoy that?
Yeah.
Something a bit different, wasn't it? And you want another little fun fact?
But let's just quickly let us know how many you got at home. If anyone got those, that is
serious knowledge.
Under the age of 30.
Yeah.
Fair play. Because I think realistically, unless you remember those actually happening, like 2002, come on, how much?
Although, the bit I liked was Massa was driving the favourite Sauber. You know what we've discussed before about the favourite car, you know, with the white nose, the dark blue with the, what is it, like minty green?
Yeah, it's like the Mercedes green. Yeah. The Petronas green.
I liked it. Anyway, fun fact. For the first time in F1 history, we have had four different constructors with at least three wins and two poles in a season. Okay, this season. So, Red Bull, 7 wins, 8 poles. Mm-hmm. McLaren, 3 wins, 4 poles. Ferrari, 3 wins, 2 poles. And Mercedes, 3 wins, 2 poles.
Impressive.
For the first time in F1 history. It's not bad, is it?
No, and I mean, this is what I said last week. I think we've got a season on our hands next year.
No.
I think it could be. I mean, this season is still ongoing. We've actually still got a fair way to go. What have we got, like 8 or 9 races?
8 races, I think, yep.
A lot can change in that time. I think it's going to get really exciting.
Do you want one more quick quiz?
Sure.
I like this. I don't know. I came across this and I was like, it's quite interesting.
You like the new Bradley Walsh?
Exactly. The Chase. So, confirmed engine supplies for 2026. So, we have
confirmed.
Confirmed. We have Can you name the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 engine suppliers?
That are confirmed.
That are confirmed.
Mercedes.
Yep.
Audi.
Yep.
Ferrari.
Yep.
Honda.
Honda, yep.
Oh my god, this last one is...
This baffles me, you haven't got this.
Wait, who have I said? I said Mercedes.
You've said both Mercedes, Ferrari, Honda and Audi.
Yeah, am I being stupid?
Yep, because very much so.
I'm thinking Red Bull powertrain.
Exactly.
Okay, but so I knew Honda.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was in some sort of collaboration with...
No. So, you've obviously said to suppliers, who are the teams who are going with Mercedes? Obviously, Mercedes. Well, yeah,
obviously, Mercedes.
Yep.
Williams.
Williams.
McLaren.
McLaren. Ferrari.
Haas and Ferrari.
Red Bull.
Red Bull and AlphaTauri, whatever.
RB, yep. Honda.
Wait, Honda, Aston Martin?
Yeah. Well done. And Audi.
Well, Audi are Audi.
Well, they will be, but the team is, at this moment in time, stake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not going to
be. They're not going to be, but...
But obviously there is one team missing here.
Alpine.
Yeah.
So they're yet to confirm who they're going to be.
They're not 100% sure if they're actually going to continue being a works team, which...
No.
I think would be a bit strange.
Yeah, no.
I will never understand why they stopped being Renault. I know Alpine are owned by Renault, you know this. A lot of car brands have multiple car brands.
Yeah.
But I never really understood that, why you would take, you know, Renault, who had in their own right become an iconic team through Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
And then Alpine, who have never really done anything. I don't know, it was a weird one, but I think it's good. I like having works teams.
Mm, me too.
I appreciate it's not feasible and...
For everyone.
Yeah, but I think the more teams we have that are supplying their own engines...
It's more exciting for the sport.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So hopefully you enjoyed that bit. So news, we'll get onto the big one in a second, but there is a driver who has become favourite to take the remaining Sauber seat. Do you know who it is?
No, I actually don't.
Gabriel Bortoletti. Bortoletto, sorry. So currently second in the F2 championship.
Yep.
We spoke about him, was it last week? Week before?
It was even a big thing.
Yeah.
We knew him while he was karting.
So he's heavily linked with Sauber. Obviously, So McLaren are a big part of this because obviously he is a McLaren driver. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their chances to try and get him into the sport. What's your thoughts on that? Obviously, we already know we have Behrmann, we have Antonelli.
Yeah. Oh, and just, I know we spoke about K-Mag's ban. Obviously, yeah. Behrmann.
Which makes logical sense.
Just didn't know if it was allowed. I'm all for these younger drivers coming in. I think it's good that he's performing in F2. You know the one thing, my pet hate is someone that is not killing it every week.
So like a Logan Sargeant, who I know obviously he's out of sport now, but we discussed, didn't we, when he got his seat in Williams. He wasn't performing. He finished P6, 7 in the championship.
Yeah, nothing impressive. We just know that he had the money. So
he was scraping his driver's points right up until the end.
Someone like Bortoletto, who's actually putting in a shift this season, I love that. I love when that happens. I think that's exactly how you get fresh people into the sport. it shouldn't be a case of we just keep the Perez's, the Bottas's, the Kevin Magnussen's.
Just because they're names.
Yeah, we, like, you know, there should be a fairly high turnover in this sport because that's the nature of the game. You know, you think back, having an F1 career that lasts longer really than like 3 years is an absolute luxury.
100%.
And I think there is a few drivers in there right now who are lucky to still be there. But it does, I don't think Bottas is one of them personally.
No.
And obviously it sounds like he's probably going to be out the door.
I wouldn't be disappointed if Bottas remained in the sport. I think he's a solid driver to have. The issue is when you've decided to pick someone like Hülkenberg, who has outperformed that Haas this year, and you look at the likes of that you know, Sauber, who has been woeful, Bottas hasn't picked up any points this year. He hasn't been like the Bottas we know. Granted, that is due to the car. But when you've got an experienced driver that has come into the sport and you're preparing for a team like Audi entering the sport in 2026, having someone, a younger driver, is only going to make that team more appealing, if that makes sense, for sponsors and everything like that for the future.
You know, for me, if they stuck with Bottas, I mean, do we even know, has Bottas got a seat next year?
No. Nothing, nothing's been confirmed.
This is for next year?
This is for next year. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. For me, if Bottas did stick around for another year, I don't personally think that would be the worst choice.
No.
I think if they're going for someone that is performing really well in F2, I also think that's a great choice. If they're going to go after someone that just brings in money in F2, I think that's a terrible idea.
So when you look at obviously F2, Hadjar is leading the championship by 10.5 points. He's looked great. However, the last couple of races, he's struggled. Bortoleto has turned it around. I think he finished P2 and then he finished P1 in the last race. He's looking promising. He's just growing with confidence. So I don't mind those type of drivers coming into the sport because they're delivering.
And the thing is that's what F2 is made for, right? It's a feeder series. Like, this is what these are made for. They're not, in my opinion, made for... they're not made to be a selection pool for the F1 teams to pick the most amount of sponsorship money.
No.
They should be looking at who's in there, who's performing. And yeah, you know, chances are it's going to be drivers that are on their academy.
Yeah.
Part of their academy. That's absolutely fine. But, you know, if you were Williams, right, and you had seen the performance of Logan Sargeant there, and he had been absolutely schooled by so-and-so, would you not be trying to go after them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, well, you know, he does bring in a lot of oil money, so.
But I think that's the difference now, isn't it? When you're looking at teams, they are looking at the younger drivers in F2. Look at, you know, Colapinto, who's come in.
Even Kimi Antonelli. I know he's a little bit different. He's not someone that's kind of. He's not had to go through the ordinary procedures. But yeah, you know, the fact that Mercedes, who won 8 Constructors' Championships on the bounce from 2014 to 2021, are now replacing 7-time world champion with an 18-year-old that has not even completed a whole season in F2. I stand by the fact that I would probably go for someone. I would have gone for someone like Carlos Sainz. I would have done the straight swap.
Yeah.
But, like, I do admire the sort of audacity of doing it. And I like seeing young people come in the sport. And he's a good one because we know that Mercedes are bringing him in because they really think he's, like, the next big thing.
Yeah.
They're not doing it because he's got a great amount of cash behind him. And, okay, Mercedes are not a team that really need to worry about that anyway because they've got a huge amount of cash.
The brand speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'd much rather it this way. You know, keep bringing the kids through. That's great. Give them opportunities. And if it's a sick one like Audi, Audi might come into the sport and absolutely fucking nail it.
Yeah.
They might, for whatever reason, be the best team in 2026. And then he's coming, he's got a banging seat. Kimi Antonelli, he's going to Mercedes. Next season, Mercedes are going to be great.
Mm.
So he's going to go straight into a car that, in theory, at this point, should be capable of winning races next season. And I like that, you know. It's a shame we didn't see Oscar Piastri come straight into that winning McLaren, because I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Mate, I know we have like the 2021 Baku race on in the background.
We do.
But this is triggering me. Watching what rewatching some of the races from this season is just triggering me.
Yeah.
Like
a really intense season, and as soon as you cast your mind back to Abu Dhabi, it sort of curtains.
I don't think, and I know we've discussed about the 21 season in the past, but I honestly don't think in my lifetime I have been so invested in a sporting event. Like, I'm a Brighton fan. I've been, you know, championship. We've, you know, been promoted and all of this stuff. But I do not think there is one sporting event I've been so invested in than this 21 season.
The 21 season was, there was something special about it.
I just felt like I was so heavily involved, not involved in the actual race, but I invested in each week.
Yeah.
Like when there was no race, I was like, I'm gutted. I want, you know, I was reading, I was just up to date with just constant daily news of what is actually happening. I was so invested in it. And it's just, yeah, I mean.
And you know what? Oh, I swear to God, we can have a season like that next season. And I know we were more invested because it was Lewis against Max. But if we've got multiple drivers in multiple different teams going for that championship next season, it could be very intense.
Answer me this then, okay. So next year, you have multiple drivers. If Lewis isn't in the mix with those drivers, would you be as heavily invested? No. And I think for me, the reason being is because it was Lewis.
But I do also think that it was kind of, it was everything about it, right? It was how, it was Red Bull Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know, they'd sort of become nemesis over the year.
Yeah.
Christian Horner versus Toto Wolff. It was Lewis Hamilton, the greatest of all time. I don't care about your comments. Versus Max Verstappen, the new, not the new kid on the block, but the sort of next man that's going to take over the flame from Lewis Hamilton.
The apprentice who was coming through.
Max was aggressive, emotional in the way he drove. Lewis had won, or Mercedes had won the last seven on the bounce. It was like, can they really be beaten? That's just everything. That, and then, I mean, for it to sort of round off in the way that it did was just, it almost couldn't be scripted.
No.
It was so insane the way in which all the events came together across the season to actually be decided by the slowest man on the track.
Yeah.
Smashing into a wall.
But that's what the iconic thing. Isn't it? But you had, it was even if Lewis or Max had gone out, you were invested in the backup drivers as such, Perez and Bottas. What are they going to do? Are they going to try and, can they get, you know, the win instead of it being Max, or can they be, you know, it was everything. And
the answer was often no.
Yeah. But it is, it kind of goes back to what you're saying. It was like, I don't even think a movie script could create what we witnessed in that season.
No, and that's why I actually think it was so, like, special, because it's just like, it was how everything happened.
Yeah.
Like, all the little events that you look back through the season, you're like, yeah, well, if that didn't happen, then it would have been, and I know that might sound silly, but it's like, it's all those tiny things, and every single thing really mattered, and you never really realised that at the time.
Well, you think, like, in this race, okay, Max was leading the championship, he had a blowout. Okay, Hamilton overtook Perez into turn one, locked it, went off. if he had won that, he would have gone into lead of the championship. If you hadn't gone to, you know, Monza and they hadn't collided, Lewis was fast as...
Max having a slow stop, wasn't it? Or Lewis
having a... Max had a slow stop. But then all of a sudden, you know, then you had Silverstone. It was the commentary. When you watch these iconic videos back, you know, when we're like 50, 60 years old and we're like discussing this, going and listening to, you know, Crofty about the Silverstone opening lap. Just, there's so many great memories that came out of it. And then... Yeah, we don't talk about Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, it really was a top season.
But, you know, like, even little things like Qatar. Okay, Max got a penalty. He started P7. Lewis, you know, was fire on that. They went to, you know, Mexico. He was better. Well, okay, you got Brazil. But even Mexico, Lewis managed to get a P2 ahead of Sergio Perez in that, which actually those Red Bulls were way faster. Yeah. All those little things made it so intense throughout the year. And yeah, it was just a phenomenal season. Imola, you know, Lewis went backwards. Luckily, they had that red flag, which then put him back into contention to actually go on. So many aspects of that season. Sorry, I know I've gone off on a tangent here, but it just brings back. I honestly don't think I've been invested as much in a sporting event than I did that 21 season. It was just.
Let's hope Lewis goes for it next season.
Then I'd love to be as invested again. Right, let's get on to the biggest breaking news, because that's probably what you're all wanting to talk about. Adrian Newey has been announced. He'll be joining Aston Martin in the 2025 season.
I don't get it, and I'll tell you why. Working with Lance Stroll cannot be on his list of ambitions, right? He's had a glistening career.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Williams, McLaren, Red Bull, right? And he's won the lot. All of them. Why on earth would you go to Aston Martin? I get it. They're investing heavily in the team. Great. They're investing heavy in infrastructure. Incredible. They are not going to get rid of Lance Stroll. Adrian Newey will know better than anyone that a championship-winning car is a championship-winning driver. Lance Stroll is not going to be that person. And granted, Fernando Alonso might be. You know, he's 42?
No. Let's talk a football analogy. It is like having Pep Guardiola go to a team and all of a sudden your signing is, I don't know, Jamie Redknapp.
It's like Pep Guardiola choosing to go to Morecambe United instead of Real Madrid.
Well, that's a better analogy than mine, yeah.
You know, and I get it, they've put a huge amount of money in front of him. I read earlier that he's going to earn like £3,300 or dollars every hour.
Yeah, not bad, is it?
Which is obscene, but...
Did you listen to the interview from Lawrence Stroll? Because he was asked a question about, you know, is this investment, you know, a good deal? He went, well, of course it's a good deal. This is a phenomenal deal for us. But what I don't understand about it, and I agree with you on it, is it makes no sense to me, because if you're Adrian Newey, this is going to be your last big job, okay? Not that you can get other big jobs in the future, but he's like, what, 62, 63 years old?
Yeah, and I'm sure after this payday, he's going to want to just wind down.
Yeah. If you're going to do that, you want to go and work with the best. In my opinion, if you've left Red Bull, going to work for the best is the likes of Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton in the Ferrari.
You can take those two away from it. Surely, going to Ferrari at some point in his career was on his bucket list.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you spoil, it doesn't matter what way you spin it, Ferrari are the biggest team in Formula 1, right? To even take the stats out of it, Ferrari are the biggest team in the sport. When you think of Formula 1, you think of Ferrari. Mm. You know, unless you're 10 years old, that is what you think of.
But he could have even gone back to a McLaren, or he could have gone to Mercedes. Going to Aston Martin, you are not going to win a championship with Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso won't win another championship. He's a great driver, don't get me wrong, but he will not win you another championship. He just won't.
People are going to hate that. You're going to get stick for that.
Good. Bring it on. He's not.
I would agree to an extent, unless the car is like, if Fernando Alonso had the Red Bull of last year,
yeah,
and had Sergio Perez as his teammate, Fernando Alonso would have won the championship.
Okay.
But that car was super dominant.
Yeah.
I think if you've got a season like this, not 2021, I'm not pointing at the screen, but I meant 2024, this season, Fernando Alonso is not going to win you a championship up against those drivers.
No.
And that's purely because he's just getting older. You know, if Fernando Alonso was 26, 27, even in his 30s, you know, to mid-30s. Yeah, this would be a different conversation. But still, my biggest concern about it is Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking, well, he's not going anywhere. So who else is, you know, what's next? Because, yeah, at some point they're going to have to replace Fernando.
But just going back to my point with that, because obviously I was saying about, I don't believe Fernando Alonso will win another championship. I just don't think he has it in him. Yes, he showed glimpses last year when the Aston Martin was good, but I just don't think he has it in him to go on and win a championship. Not because of his age necessarily, because I still believe Lewis Hamilton could go to Ferrari and he could win a championship. Yeah, I still believe that.
Lewis is, three, 4 years younger?
Yeah, but if we're talking about coming towards the end of their career and age-wise, that's what I mean with the comparison compared to the year.
We also need to remember that Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso are not on the same level.
But this is what I mean by that. If Lewis Hamilton was in that Aston Martin, I would go, actually, they have a good chance of winning the championship. I just don't see it with Fernando Alonso. Yeah. I'll probably get a stick for it. I'll probably get some hate for it. I'll probably get some poo stuck through my letterbox or whatever. But I just open a letterbox and...
Has that ever happened to you before?
No, never, but I've seen it happen to some people.
Strange. But, you know, he's done it. He's made the move. Yeah, I mean, if you're Aston Martin...
You're buzzing.
You're over the moon. I mean, this is a man that has never not won a Constructors' Championship at a team. I don't think he's ever not won a World Drivers' Championship at a team. You'd be literally delighted because we're still in a ground effect era. Like, we're going into a ground effect era, like continuing on that path, and he's absolutely just dominated this new era of cars, which are ground effect. In theory, all those principles are going to carry over into 2026. I know the regulations are obviously changing, but he's the man for the job. We've seen what's happened to this Red Bull now. He's out of the development of it, and it's not been good.
No.
So, yeah, when someone asks Lawrence Stroll, is it a good investment? I agree with him. Mm. Fuck yeah, it is. Where else are you going to invest? At this point in time, where else are you going to invest?
Because
he's not getting Max Verstappen. He's not going to get Lewis Hamilton. And even so, how many times do we have to say it? You need a car to be able to win a championship. And then you need the driver in it. That's where our concern comes in.
And I think for me, with Aston Martin, I have no doubt with Adrian Newey there, they can go on and win championships if they get the right drivers in.
100%.
And that is not Lance Stroll. Okay, Fernando, he could do well or whatever, but I can't see him win the championship. But I don't see why not Aston Martin couldn't get the likes of someone like Max Verstappen in a couple of years' time. If Max Verstappen is looking at this and going, okay, they're building for the future here, that could be a team that is in the right. Do you see what I mean? There's no reason why, actually, with Adrian Newey, people want to go and work for Adrian Newey.
Yeah,
his name alone is probably bigger than Aston Martin.
And, you know, I've spoken highly about Aston Martin over the last year or two about their development or their investment in to the actual infrastructure into the team, you know. And they did come into the 2023 season very, very hot. They did well.
Yeah.
They struggled with development. We know that they actually poached quite a few, you know, engineers from Red Bull.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, it's an unbelievable move. I just don't think that they're ever going to sort of make it out unless they finally replace Lance Stroll. And,
oh, 100%.
You know, it's Lance Stroll has had a much longer F1 career than most.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily think he's ever been like an appalling driver.
He's been adequate.
Adequate is probably a fair way to describe him. I don't particularly like the way his character comes across.
I've actually probably warmed to him over the last year, just because I've seen a lot of interviews that he just makes me laugh. How he's a bit like a Kimi Raikkonen with his just like one word answers.
Yeah.
Like, did I tell you when I was at Spa, he was being asked questions. He was like, oh, what's your favorite meal of the day? He went, literally, stone face, I like dinner. No, like, well, what do you like about dinner? I don't know. When I wake up in the morning, I just think about what I'm going to have for dinner. Like, it was just straight face. Yeah. It just made me laugh. I just found it, like, just quite humorous. But with regards to Lance Stroll, the way I see it going is Adrian Newey is, I guarantee he said to Lawrence, he went, look, if you want to win a championship here, we're going to have to make changes. We know Stroll is announced for next year. For me, that's going to be the last year. Heading into 2026, I think they're going to be...
Am I correct in thinking that Adrian Newey is not working on the 2025 car?
No.
It's
2026. But he's also a shareholder, a part of this deal as well. He's a shareholder. So... I'm not in there, but I wouldn't be surprised if Adrian Newey has had this conversation with him and said, look, I will come to you. We need to make changes for the 2026 driver lineup. If we want to go on and win a championship, we need to invest in bigger drivers. And those bigger drivers, I would not be surprised if it's not that man on the screen, Max Verstappen.
Don't get me wrong.
Max Verstappen loves Adrian Newey. Jos Verstappen loves Adrian Newey.
But Aston Martin have done a good job of luring big drivers. I mean, yep. They've had Sebastian Vettel, and then they replaced him with Fernando Alonso.
Mm.
That was great.
Yeah.
But what they need to do is they need to start picking up the new big drivers. They need to stop going after Seb. You know, Seb.
Yeah.
I hadn't won a championship since 2013.
Fernando Alonso.
He hadn't won a championship since 2006.
No.
You know, it's about time Aston Martin start looking at the Charles Leclerc's, the Lando Norris's, you know, whether you think he's championship material. You know, he's one of the best drivers that has come through, this new generation of drivers.
See, in my opinion, I don't see Norris or Piastri leaving McLaren if they're on this same but what I mean is going into 2026.
I'm not saying they have to go after those drivers. I'm saying those types of drivers, you know, where Ferrari have, I know Leclerc's been there a long time now, but like,
so you're talking about the likes of Giovinazzi and Latifi's and those type of lot.
The top drivers, you know what I mean, the new era of drivers that are coming through, that really, you know, George Russell. Obviously, Max Verstappen is on that list, but I mean, he's fully established as like a top driver now.
Yeah.
That's where they need to start looking. They can't just keep getting these sort of, not has-beens, because that is an incredibly harsh way to describe them. But I mean it in the sense
of... But you say it anyway.
I think that's kind of a way to describe it, but I don't mean it in the sense where they've completely lost it, but where they're kind of not looking forward. It's almost like they're looking back and they're like, oh, well, they're a world champion. Do you remember when they won it back when we were fucking 12 years old? It's like, start looking forward. You've got someone like Adrian Newey in. You've invested heavily in infrastructure. You've invested heavily in the team. Now actually get drivers in who are going to take it forward.
If you're going to have this much investment, and going back to what I was saying earlier, if you're going to invest so heavily in one of the probably the most influential sports person in motorsports, with regards to engineering wise and all of that stuff. Yeah. I don't mean like sporting wide, but I mean, you know, from that,
from the geeky,
from
side,
the development side and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone better.
No, I mean, the numbers don't lie.
No.
You know what I mean?
But if you're going to invest so much in that area, you're going to have to invest in the driver lineup, and you're going to heavily have to invest in the driver lineup, because it's pointless otherwise. It's like you have all of that, you have the best car there, but you're still putting the likes of, you know, a Bottas or a Perez in the car. Well, actually, no, you need that elite driver. And that's why after today's news and thinking more about it, I would not be surprised in 2026 you heard or you saw the likes of Max Verstappen or someone being lined up there.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying, you know, if they keep Alonso, I get that. Alonso's not done anything necessarily wrong. I'm just saying the way you look at Aston Martin is, okay, one seat's always taken by Lance Stroll because of the family connection. And I think if you're going to have that taken up by someone like him, then you've got to look to this newer generation of drivers and start actually looking for someone that is going to transform the team and someone that you can actually build into. You know, there's no reason they can't have like the next Charles Leclerc, the next Max Verstappen, the next Lewis Hamilton. But you're not going to get that with Fernando Alonso because he's already had his career. He's had a great career. You're certainly not going to get it with Lance Stroll because he's shown you that he's not capable of reaching those levels. But you know, say all of a sudden if Aston Martin have they're Lando Norris and Fernando Alonso, all of a sudden you're looking at that and you're thinking, fuck yeah, that's a pretty good partnership. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying Alonso's the problem, but I'm saying if you're filling both the roles in that way, then all of a sudden he does kind of become a problem for the long-term plan.
This announcement I would have felt a bit more confident in the rise of Aston Martin is if, you know, Nui was being announced, if for the likes of, you know, alongside Fernando Alonso, someone like Carlos Sainz had been announced,
yeah,
or even Drugovich. Do you know what I mean? Like, ideally, yeah, you've taken out Lance Stroll, who, granted, he's only there because of a connection, but you've taken him out and you're showing, actually, what's more important to us is the rise of this team rather than family connection. So if you brought in Drugovich or even Carlos Sainz, that to me would have been like, okay, this team is actually wanting to go places. But the fact that they're keeping Lance Stroll for another season,
it makes you think as well, right? Because what does he actually want? Is he building this team so his son can win a world championship? And that's not a rhetorical question. Do you think he is building this team so his son can win a world championship?
Well, it looks like it.
Okay.
So,
if all of a sudden Aston Martin next season, they build the next RB22.
Yeah.
And they're miles ahead, right?
Yeah.
You think he's beating Fernando Alonso in the race for a world championship?
No.
Fucking no chance. If they'd kept Seb, you think he's beating Seb?
No.
So I don't understand. The plan's not going to work anyway. Because if you've got, I'll run through the majority of the grid, right? Does he win a championship next to George Russell?
No.
Does he win a championship next to Carlos Sainz?
No.
Norris?
No.
Piastri?
No.
Leclerc?
No.
Max?
No.
Lewis?
No.
Gasly?
No.
Albon?
No.
Tsunoda?
No.
And this is what I mean.
Colapinto?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's the level of driver that you have to start getting to where you think, oh, yes, Stroll has a chance.
Oh, he's taking him.
But then, are you actually going to... They're never going to build a team where Lance is considered the number one because I think they don't actually believe it. So if the plan is for Lance to win a championship, let me build a team for my son where he can win a championship. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
What do they discuss in these board meetings, by the way? Like, you know, Okay, Lawrence, so where are we going with this? Oh yeah, no, we've got really good progress, you know. Lance is showing great things in the sim, you know, really positive that he can go on and be a world champion. Does anyone sit in that meeting and go, yeah, I believe that. I want to heavily invest in this team because I really believe that they're going to go on and win a world championship with Lance Stroll.
That's the thing. I mean, I know this is turning into like a Stroll hate watch, but...
Well, you do have an agenda against Stroll.
Not as much as you have.
I don't have a lot. Look,
my point is with Stroll is he's had loads of time to prove it. At no point have I even called him a bad driver. I don't think he's fundamentally a bad driver.
I don't think anyone's a bad driver in comparison.
No, you know what I mean.
I know.
Like, he's fundamentally not a bad driver. There is worse drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
There always has been worse drivers on the grid. But I just don't think he's ever going to enable that team to be taken seriously.
No.
I think we saw that in 2023 anyway, when the car was really competitive at the start of the season. Granted, I'll cut him some slack. He was coming back from a broken wrist, came back very early, was visibly in pain. But he never, ever took that car to the levels that Alonso took it. And I think that's my point.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, Alonso described Aston Martin as a team of the future. I don't disagree with that.
Aside from the drivers, absolutely, yeah. they are a team for the future. And I think how everything is going, they've got a very bright future. And the credit goes to Lawrence Stroll. He's done a very good job.
Yeah.
With that.
No, I agree with you on that one. And I think it's it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. But I am pretty gutted that he didn't go to Ferrari. I must be honest. I was hoping for a link up with Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc.
I think we've known for a little while now that I think it's kind of everyone.
Don't you find it annoying now? And I don't know if we have discussed this before, how nothing's a secret.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You know, and I suppose, you know,
I said this about Fabrizio Romano.
Yeah. It feels like you know, like, 4 weeks before it's actually announced. And I like the fact where, you know, we could say football, but transfer deadline day. Okay. Oh, you know, Berbatov's just signed for. You didn't see that one coming. You didn't have a clue it was going to happen. Or the only one that's really got us recently is obviously Lewis to Ferrari.
Because they announced it so quickly.
Yeah, and that's great.
The leaks had come out.
Yeah,
and they started to get leaked. They were like, right, yeah, it's happening. And I rate that. Think how excited everyone was when that news came out. If you had had all the leaks, like, 2-3 weeks before, yeah, you get excited when you see the first leak when it comes from a reputable source. It's not the same as when the news is announced.
No.
You know what I mean? It's, it's a shame. That's the internet for you. It's the good and bad of the internet.
Yeah. Right, shall we... Is there any other news? Or was that it?
We have a race this weekend.
Should we talk about Baku?
We should.
So, race weekend. So, practice FP1 is on Friday, 10:30 to 11. FP2... 2 till 3 on Saturday. FP3 is 9:30 till 10:30, and qualifying is 1 till 2. The race on Sunday is 12 o'clock, an early race.
Yeah, it is an early one.
Yeah, it is.
It's because Azerbaijan is a little bit further east.
Yes. When was the first Grand Prix held?
2014.
16. Number of laps. Nope, it's not that.
I'm gutted that they've just finished. It's 52.
51. lap record and held by who?
Sir Lewis Hamilton.
No, Charles Leclerc.
And I reckon it's a
1:27.8. 1:43 flat.
It is a long lap.
Well, interestingly, doing running now, I actually look at things more in kilometres than I probably ever have done in my life. 6 kilometres.
Yeah.
One lap is 6 kilometres.
Wow. So I could run that in about 18 minutes.
Well, your one you did the other day was in the 20s, so...
Yeah, 20
minutes, quick, but, just quickly with this weekend, do you think McLaren will sort out their team orders?
It really is getting to the stage where they have to, because they're going to start wrecking Lando's chances. You know, Lando really, genuinely, is in with a chance of winning a world championship here, and the Constructors is basically on lock for them.
Yep.
Oscar Piastri has zero chance of winning the world championship.
Yep.
I feel like they've got to do it. They have to start prioritising Lando. I don't like it. I much prefer it when a driver earns the win. But if they're as close as they have been recently, it makes sense to swap them. It really does. And I don't like the fact that I'm saying that, but McLaren can win a world championship and the Constructors' championship.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys, just do it.
Will Ferrari keep their
pace? Ferrari are always such a difficult one. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't put any money on it. Just because they've been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time now, really. But particularly in this new era, where we've kind of seen them really good and then really bad. And granted, they brought upgrades to Monza. They worked a treat. I think they got the race win through strategy.
Yep.
But, you know, they had to be there in the first place. So I'd like them to have kept their pace, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
Top three for this weekend's Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
And this might be the first time in a while that there's not a Red Bull in there.
Oh, okay.
I think Lando.
Yep.
Oscar. No, Lando, Lewis, Oscar.
Okay. I'm going to go for... I still believe McLaren will muck something up. So I'm going to go... And when I say muck up, I believe they'll muck up with Lando. So I think it's going to be Oscar, Lando... Lewis.
Interesting.
I think it's going to be it's going to be hopefully an entertaining race, because we need a good race. Obviously Monza was good.
All I will say is I think you can easily put Ferrari in the mix.
Yep. If
we see that their upgrades have actually worked and they haven't just had a Monza miracle. But they did look good at Monza. But you know what? This is what I love. I feel like top three is almost unfair to call now. We should call like top five.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Is Sergio Perez in your top five?
No. He's not in top ten.
Do you think he's the biggest fall-off in F1 history? And what I mean by that is someone who's in a top team, who is arguably in the best car, who he has been for the last couple of years. And as you know, we're watching him now. He's just won the Baku in 2021. But since then, he's since 2022, he's just dropped off.
Yeah, but look, the signs are there. I mean, right, look at the Drivers' Championship here after Baku. Max Verstappen, 105 points. Lewis Hamilton, 101 points. Perez, 69 points in a car that was clear.
Yeah.
Lando Norris, 66 points.
And that McLaren was a handful.
Yeah, it was well off the pace. So, you know, the signs are there. Perez did do a great job that season as a number two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think we're arguably seeing one of the worst drives in a competitive car.
I agree.
That we've seen in a long time. You know, Barrichello was always finishing second.
Yeah.
And Barrichello is the most famous number two driver of all time.
He was indeed. No, I agree. I think that's the end of the podcast. We'll be back next week reviewing the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. And yeah, I don't think there's anything else to say. But no, have a good week.
I think we're in for a good race. I really hope we are. I hope McLaren don't just run away with it. I hope it's a little bit more competitive. It'll be interesting to see how Red Bull bounce back. If they bounce back, yeah. I think maybe they're not able to compete with Mercedes, McLaren, and Ferrari at this point in time.
Yeah.
Although one little thing that we should touch on just very quickly.
Yep.
Or did we talk about that last week? The flexi wings.
No, we didn't touch on that.
So obviously there was a test.
Oh, we did touch on that. Sorry. Yeah. Yep.
So I think what will be interesting now is if we do start seeing, you know, if Red Bull implements something like that.
Yeah.
And Ferrari were also one of the complainers as well. So let's see. I don't know what upgrades we have due this week. I'm not sure if anything's come out just yet. But yeah, I definitely look forward to the race.
One thing actually, before we go, and some, you know, people like this, is where we are in the charts. So in the Great Britain Fancy Sports, we've gone up 18 places. We're at number 133. In Sweden, we've gone up 8 places on the Fancy Sports to number 78. In Greece, we remain number 19. In Bermuda, we've gone down 1 to P12. Gutted with that one. So there we go. In South Africa, in Fantasy Sports, we're number 42.
Nice.
That's all right. And actually, this might be another weekend I pull my lead over you in the Fantasy F1. No, I don't worry about you. So yeah, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, drop us a rating. We do really appreciate it. We'll be back next week reviewing the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. But have a great week, and we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.